So I thought we'd just start with the idea that we're being called to be faithful. And we all know that we're being called, and if you're like me, when you are being called to something, I act sometimes more like Jonah than I do Paul. I get up and go the other direction. So it's not, it's convicting at times because you know the Lord is calling you to do something, but yet you're not obedient in that sometimes. And that's why we're here. This is meant to be an encouragement to us so that we would look at what we're being called to. There's four main points to our session today. If we don't make the fourth point, that's totally fine. That's your homework. That will mean that second and third point were going well and there's lots of discussions. So I thought we'd start with our Grace Bible Church mission statement. It's on most all the emails that go out. Maybe you've read it, maybe you haven't. Grace Bible Church exists to make, mature, multiply disciples of Jesus Christ for the glory of God here and around the world. It's always about the glory of God. It's not about our glory. Yes, we want to see sinners won for Christ, but it's always about the glory. It's always about His glory. So let's begin our time this morning in prayer. We'll open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the gospel. We thank You, Lord, that Your Son did come in love and mercy, live that perfect life, Lord, that He would be obedient to the Father and He would give Himself up on that cross for our sin. We thank You, Lord, that He, in fulfillment of the Scriptures, rose Himself up from the grave and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And this is the gospel that we proclaim, that those who believe in Him and place their trust in Him will be His children. They will be saved and have eternal life. Lord, would You be with us this morning as we discuss this? And I pray, Lord, that You would be glorified and we would all be encouraged. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. So it was April of 21, and I was in the coffee shop, and I was just getting a cup of coffee. And I'm very friendly with the coffee people there. It's my favorite place to go get coffee in Keyport. And while I was chatting with the people making the coffee, they know I'm a Christian, and one lady sitting over to my left said, "Does anybody have a pen?" I just reached in my pocket and handed her a pen. I thought nothing of it. It was one of those collector's items, Grace Bible Church white pens, those really cool ones. I didn't think it was just the pen I had in my pocket. And as I walked back to get to the coffee, the lady, elderly lady, says, Grace Bible Church, what is that? Grace Bible Church. And I said, oh, that's my church. You can check it out. You can come visit us Sunday mornings or you can check us out online. And she goes, oh, well, what kind of church? And she wanted to talk about it a little bit. But at that moment, another man who was sitting with her got up and really got close to me, and he walked up to me and he said, are you the one handing out this propaganda all around this town? He was very agitated. I said, sir, I handed the lady a pen. And he said, well, you're telling people about Jesus. He was very agitated. And I was running late. I wasn't prepared. I didn't pray this up. A pen opened the door for the gospel with this man, and God sovereignly ordained that interaction there. And Patrick is his name. He's in my phone as PTA, Patrick the Atheist. And Patrick the Atheist, he is an angry man. He's a very angry man. And I said to him, here's my business card. If you ever want to know what I believe and why I believe it, please call me. If you want to argue with me, don't call me. He just got in my space, and it was over a pen. See, the Lord opened a door for me and for him to hear that gospel message. It was really quite encouragement. That was 4 years ago, and we still text. I text him this week as well, and he's a very angry person. He'll send me pictures of the Bible, big red markers on it, liars, and all kinds of fun stuff. And because I've engaged with him, it's helped me overcome my fear, I would say, because the more you engage people, the more you overcome your fear. If you stay in your fear, you'll probably remain in your fear. Like I told you guys one time, I hate flying, and I just flew to the Shepherd's Conference, and it was the worst flight in history. We're all looking at each other going, literally, you couldn't even focus. It was bouncing around so much. And this coming few weeks, we'll be flying back out to go to Yosemite. So the only way I can overcome my fear is actually to do it. And faithfulness, the Lord blesses. So that would actually be our fourth point. So I just want to say, that by show of hands, who here has believed upon the gospel because someone was faithful to share with them the gospel. Basically, everybody in this room, praise God. And I was thinking that it is such a blessing that they who shared with you had overcome their fear of sharing it with you. Does that make sense? Someone overcame their fear to say to you the gospel, that you would, in God's providence and by his mercy and the Holy Spirit's work, you would believe that gospel message and thus be saved. And the burden of our hearts for our lost family and friends is a very great burden. I may have shared this with you before, and I apologize if I repeat myself. The burden is very great. But the Lord, the more you're faithful, the less the burden. The less faithful, the greater the burden. In 2015, when my brother died, I had never been burdened like that in my life, not one time. Not only at the loss of my brother, but I had never shared the gospel. You can't get that back. But the Lord was kind to me. I texted a brother in the Lord here at Grace, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning. We spoke for a long time on the phone. So you will see that as you raised your hands, you are the ones that God intends to use. He could write it on the sky. He could literally write the gospel in the sky for everybody but to see, but he doesn't. He uses his people to go out and be his ambassadors to represent him with the message of the gospel. So our 4 points, and I thought I would just start with, what is evangelism? It's pretty easy. Evangelism is sharing the good news. You are telling someone who Jesus Christ is and what he did. What did he accomplish for those who believe in him? It's not really more than that. It's just telling the good news of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done. If you can get past that opening sentence of saying something to someone, you can find so many ways to open the doors for the gospel. But what fears us and what grips us is, I won't know what to say. So what I thought we'd start with is the first point there, the command to share the gospel. And these are very familiar texts with us. We know the Matthew 28 text, to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We know that text well. At the very end of that, it says, I am with you always, till the end of the age. Mark 16 is a parallel verse to that. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Psalm 105, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. So we know a lot of these texts, but I was really, really meditating on the Matthew 9 verse this week. Matthew 9 at the bottom there, the first page. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He was intentionally going to them and proclaiming the gospel. When he saw the crowds, what happened? He had compassion. Why was he compassionate? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. That is, pray to me, he's saying. And if you look, that's Matthew, the end of Matthew 9, and Matthew 10 is when they're all going out. The Lord had honored that. The Lord had used those prayers, and he was telling them that you need to be faithful with the gospel. Now it's time to go. So we know the greatest commands, right? Love the Lord with all your heart. The second one, love your neighbor as yourself. We know in Scripture it says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And it's very hard to say with a clear conscience that I love my neighbor, let's the neighbor being broadly, I love my neighbor, but I love them so much I won't share the gospel with them. I can't really say I'm loving the Lord while disobeying his commandments. And on the other hand, I can't say I love my neighbor while I'm withholding the life-saving gospel. I'm not the good neighbor. I'm not a good friend or coworker if I'm not loving them enough to actually share the gospel with them. So what are we afraid of? What grips us? when we talk about fear. So I did a Grace Bible Church survey. I sent it out to many, many people in the church. And here's the official Grace Bible Church survey results. It's going to work, I'm telling you. It's going to work. Oh, there it is for a second. You had it. The official Grace Bible Church survey results from you guys. 20% of the people said rejection. The largest one was rejection. When I had about 50 replies, it was the same statistics. When I had about 100 replies, the same statistics. They actually carried throughout. The second one is not knowing what to say. 19%. Rejection and not knowing what to say. And when they say not knowing what to say, I don't believe you actually mean I don't know the gospel. I think you mean they're going to ask me something back and I don't know what to say. That's pretty much what I believe you meant there. The third one being mocked. Many of them fall under the fourth one, which was fear of man, but I didn't combine them because these were your results. Loss of friends and family. Compromising the gospel. Confrontation. Confrontation could be real. 7% of you said that. When I left the coffee shop, Patrick the Atheist actually followed me out to my car. And I'm putting my coffee in the car, the car door's open, and we're on Front Street in Keyport, it's kind of a busy street, and I turn around and he's in my door jam. I couldn't even shut the door. He was standing like right here. And it was at that point where I'm like, wow, do I just like punch this guy in the face? What do I do? He's like in my space. It was horrible. Before I got to my job, he had called me twice. I'm 1 mile away from there. So that's why I went to meet him. I was actually afraid of meeting him. Diane's like, why are you meeting that guy? I said, I wasn't faithful with the God. I have an opportunity to share the gospel with him. So I met him for lunch and I brought my Bible. And he said, no, leave that. Don't bring that. And I said, oh, no, I'm not coming in without my Bible. It was not happening. So it's a fear of man, compromising, confrontation, fear of failing. This was one I wasn't expecting. Sounding self-righteous. That's how we might present the gospel. Like, who does he think he is? Loss of a job or promotion made that list as well. So we're going to do a group discussion right now. We're going to break into groups. We're going to do for 5 minutes. And I have two of my guys here. I have Chase and Bryson who are going to run with the microphones. After your five-minute discussions, you are going to be looking at fear of rejection, a group of you. A group will be looking at fear of being mocked or persecuted. And a group will be looking at fear of not knowing what to say. So we're spread out. We're going to do this group here. This group here is rejection. So when you look at your handout, you'll be looking at those verses that speak to rejection. This group here, the main section here, is fear of being mocked. And the sides and the back are all going to be talking about those verses I selected that would speak to not knowing what to say. So you got that? We got rejection, mocked, not knowing what to say. So for the next 5 minutes, looking at those verses, I want you guys to spin your chairs around, get in some little groups, someone be a leader, and you're going to be the spokesperson, unless you lead and appoint someone to be the spokesperson. But you're going to be the leader, spin your chairs around. For 5 minutes, I want you guys to chat about fear, rejection, and not knowing what to say. All right, your 5 minutes are up. That's the fastest 5 minutes you're ever going to find. I know. Chase. In fact, Bryson. So now, your 5 minutes is up. Let's hear from someone who was from the group that was being mocked. And my runners are going to come and give you an opportunity to share what you were discussing. How did those Bible verses speak to the fact that you were going to be, let's go with rejected. So it'd be this side here. How was your discussion? How did those Bible verses speak to that? What did that show you? Someone raise your hand.
So we were not faithful to make all the verses we
That's fine.
So really we went as far as the first verse, Matthew 10:14. And we were actually confronted with kind of examining where the gospel presentation might have a different approach based on the audience, right? You might be playing the long game with some family members where the fear of rejection is interpreted a little bit differently, where you know you're going to be seeing these people continually and you want to make sure that you're faithful in the gospel presentation. It's accurate, it's not blemished, it's not compromised, but you're also knowing that the rejection with them is a little bit different versus, you know, I brought up an example where I was in Pittsburgh about a month ago, and I'm out on the street talking to people specifically for having gospel-centered discussions, and the fear of rejection goes away because I'm never going to see these people again, and I know that their eternal destination is going to be one or two places, and I can't control how they respond to the gospel, but I'm just looking for an opportunity to do that. So the fear of rejection could be viewed, again, it's the circumstance, who your audience is, who's on the receiving side of it, and it can be intimidating with strangers, and it can be intimidating with family members, but we're to persevere and push through that.
Yep. What else? Anyone on the side? Go ahead. It should be on.
The verse, Mark 6, especially verse 4, where Jesus says, a prophet is not without honor except to his hometown, in his hometown, and among his own relatives, and in his own household. That's where I've experienced the most rejection, is with my immediate family. First with my parents, who considered themselves very religious and good Methodists. I tried to tell them what I had learned about the gospel of Christ, and you know, it was just flat-out rejection. We've gone to church for all our life, and we're good Christians, and we've never heard about being born again in all the churches we've attended. So you just think you go to a better church than we do. Mm. And just total rejection, same thing with one of my sisters. And it breaks my heart, but yeah. It's just...
I think family's the toughest, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like I want to go to your family, you can come to mine, and I'll be fine sharing the gospel with your family. Like, switch it up, you know? Anyone else for rejection over on this side? Okay, on this side, mocked. Someone raise your hand. How those verses spoke to you about being mocked. The other thing, while he's getting there, the rejection part is almost like we're going to expect it. We go in with anticipation. The Lord intends to save someone, but we know that the Lord is the one who saves, and it's in his timing. They may have to hear it several times. Go ahead, Rob.
This was good, JT. I love the being mocked. We read the scriptures, and to summarize all of these points, it literally says there's no reason to fear being mocked because you will be mocked. There's a lot of things in life that you could be mocked for, but being mocked for being a Christian is probably the greatest. John had made a great statement. You could also lump in fear of man, but what was it you said?
Yeah, we're fearing men more than we fear God.
And that's something we should all internalize and really let sink in. And Josh here compared the thought of what we're being mocked as and considered how they acted in Acts. You remember what you said?
Yeah, how they counted, they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. I feel like we should have the same approach, like that's what the Bible teaches.
I know usually when we go out to evangelize, selfishly our prayer is, Lord, I pray nobody punches us or spits in our face. But if you read in the book of Acts, I think of the second or third chapter, as they go to share, they're literally saying, Lord, stretch out your hands. And in the face of their threats, would you just show yourself and save souls? And it just totally is a contrast from some of our modern prayers. But thinking of how we're mocked and in opposition, knowing the great God that we serve, we ought to be bold. And that's only by the Spirit of God. And by the power of God.
Amen. And we have instructions from our Lord. When he was reviled, he didn't revile back. I mean, he's our Lord. He's perfect. So we have this in us to want to maybe push back and fight. And that's not the posture of our Lord when he was being reviled. Anyone else on this side? Okay, so the third one. Go ahead, Bob. I couldn't hear you, brother. The microphone's right there.
They're really not mocking you. They're really mocking Christ.
Yeah. They're not saying no to you specifically and personally. They're saying no, not right now, or no, I don't know enough. That's the initial no. Do you know Jesus? Yeah, I know him. It's good for you. Stay away from me. Good point, brother. That's a really good point. So the third group was fear of not knowing what to say. So we were wide. So Chase, get ready to run. Raise your hand and share what those Bible verses talked about, not knowing what to say.
So that was a great job passing the mic around your group. I was going to do that too, but they were fearing man, and they were fear of being mocked, and they told me not to. So
yep. Yep.
That's what I do best, yeah. So, all right, so Matthew 10, it was, right, fear of not knowing what to say. Don't worry, because the Holy Spirit speaks through you. That should give confidence in us that it's his message, not our message. Ephesians 6 was, we are ambassadors of Christ, so therefore go speak boldly, because it's his message, not our message. We're just simply messengers. 2 Corinthians, we came up with that fear God more than fearing man. God has gone before us in their own consciences, so he's already witnessed to them. Go in the confidence of that. Also, then Acts 2:42 was be devoted, do what you're supposed to do. We are in communion with him already, and as we do our devotions, we are in communion with him as we go and evangelize, and then prayerfully do so as the church did back in Acts. And 1 Peter, we are accountable for giving an offense. So focus on giving a defense more than fearing of knowing not what to say.
Anyone else? Fear of not knowing what to say? Don't scratch your head. I'll pick you, as Jack would say. Did you scratch your head? Anybody else? Good.
I have something to say, but it's not with fear of not knowing what to say.
Well, when we witness, we have to be humble. Because there's, especially in my life, there's times where I'm at work and I'm not acting like a Christian. And if I'm going to witness somebody, I have to be ready for the repercussions. Mm. Like, what are you doing talking to me about Christ when you act like that? Mm. So it's a humility of heart and a willing to confess our sins, not only to God, but to the people we are witnessing to, that this is why I need a Savior, because I am acting like a heathen. Mm-hmm. And that's
Yeah, the
scary.
Hypocrisy. The hypocrisy. And that is our conduct as Christians to the lost and dying world is really important, because if we're filled with anxiety and we're hate and we're short and we're cursing and we're living a life that looks like them, why do they want to know our Christ? Why would they want to know if you're filled with anxiety and worry and doubt and your hope is in the things of the world? They're not going to want to know our gospel. Good job. Good conversation so far. The next point, we're going to stay in those groups, or maybe this group here just... It's kind of hard for you guys to hear, so spin this group around. The next one, I'm going to give you three things. You are going to talk about this group, right in this section here, is creative ways we can reach our family and friends. So this, you guys get the good one. This one here, neighbors. So a discussion on creative ways to reach your family and friends, creative way to reach your neighbors, and around the back and the sides, co-workers. So you have 5 minutes to share creative ways you can reach them, and then we're going to chat for a couple more minutes. All right, that was the quickest 5 minutes. We're going to start with the co-workers. We need the microphones. We're going to start with the co-workers. So around here, someone we haven't heard from in the back group, creative ways we can reach our co-workers.
All right, coworkers. So number one, be intentional. Be intentional with them. Also, share on your lunch breaks. So obviously we're thinking of a working situation where you're paid to work. So maybe not necessarily when you're paid to do work, but be intentional on those breaks, those before work, after work, on lunch breaks. Also, let them know that you are a Christian. So they're coming to you already. They already know that you're different by acting differently, kind of what Steve Cordy was saying. Don't be a hypocrite. Share your faith, share your convictions, share your Christian lifestyle, share your Christian habits, so that they, so it's not necessarily you're beating them over the head with the gospel, but they just see that you're living life differently. Minister to them when they are suffering. Offer to pray with them right then and there as they're going through things. People often do not refuse prayer when they're suffering, going through something, give meals when people are suffering, do those mercy, compassion, ministry things, give them encouragement. That alone is set you differently as a Christian. The world wants to rip them down. And then also just tell them about your church. Tell them what's going on at the church. Ask them how their weekend was. What did they do? And then they say, well, what did you do? And then we went to a couples conference, or we have a kids camp, or we have a soccer clinic. I served there. So there's a bunch of things.
So yeah, one of the things I grabbed onto there was that you work with people, you see a need. I know that there's some great needs with my employees, and I've gone to them and said, hey, you told me about your wife. Can we pray about that? Just being intentional with your coworkers really goes a long way. Now let's talk about family. Friends and family, the tough one. Who's got something to share from your discussions on friends and families? Maybe someone we haven't heard from. There you go, Chase, run.
With friends and family, our discussion really was about their long-lasting relationships, their lifetime relationships. So our witnessing to them would come through our conduct and through conversation, and through time they learn who we are, what we're about, and that has opened up doors. I know there have been times when we have shared and maybe perhaps been too aggressive and they become offended by it or whatever. But usually it's been just conversation over time and learning who we are, and then they begin to ask questions and we share with them freely.
Good. Anyone else on family?
Well, everyone agrees that family is the toughest. So as you're walking in your faith, we talked about our hearts are right there. We want them to know Christ. So always being intentional and in prayer prior to the wedding, the party, like Bill was saying, any event that you're going to be going to, and just being specific about the person that you think that you might be able to hand that tract to, or just asking the Lord ahead of time. And after so many years, there's no real formula, because this door is open with this person, and then you might be able to go through something later. But most of the time, even after all that, you cannot be discouraged, because that is the place where you're most going to be rejected. And that's what we've experienced. So never give up.
And with your family, it's tough because they knew you when. They knew you before the gospel reached you, so that makes it awful tough. Joanne actually oversees the track ministry, so you see them in the fellowship. If you want to grab some of those, please, if you take them, be faithful and give them out. I have a few on my counter, and it bothers me when I've seen them because I took them and didn't hand them out. And she also has, as part of that, Bibles available. So if you have reached someone with the gospel and there's an opportunity and you want to give them a Bible, see Joanne Laturdo. She makes those available. It's not just to go and hand them out of the back of your car. It's if you've engaged somebody and you see fruit there or evidence that they're hungering for the word, these are available, no charge for you. It's a ministry that we have in the church to reach them. Did someone have someone really profound for neighbors? We were out of time, but if something really good that in your conversation spoke up about neighbors? Tom. We have an elder in our church that's saved now, and the first time he heard the gospel was a tract from Tom, by the way.
Yeah,
one of our pastors.
So we spoke about house meetings and gatherings and stuff like that. It seemed like people were really getting engaged with their neighbors and gospel tract distribution. And I just wanted to share it personally, you know, that I think, and I got to do this more, is like recognize a neighbor that has needs. I think when you assist somebody and you do things for somebody, I just think that you open up a personal door to them and to their heart. And then I really doubt, I mean, unless they're really like JT's friend over there, who was his name, PTA? Yeah, unless you meet somebody like him, you know, they probably won't like lash out at you, you know. So that's, you know. That sounds pretty good to me.
It's a good point. We Diane and I are praying about September, sending something to everybody in our street and inviting them into our Bible study in September. So we're praying about that as an opportunity. We've already knocked on their doors and handed them things for Resurrection Thanksgiving. Other times we've gone down our street. So we're going to now see if the Lord might bring one or two families to our home to do a Bible study. And just being with you, especially with your family, I'm thinking Tom Wastervelt. Tom's right there. Tom was part of my sister coming to know the Lord because he had the ministry where if you requested a sermon on CD, you would provide that for me and he'd leave it on the counter. And I fed my sister sermon after sermon after sermon. And a couple of years later, she's a believer in Jesus Christ. And she listens to our sermons every week. She'll tell me sometimes, hey, you guys are having another coffee house. I'm like, coffee house? Oh, yeah, we're having a coffee house. She knows more what's going on here from Rochester, New York. She's totally embedded in our church, and she doesn't even come here. So we didn't get to the fourth point, which I kind of hoped would happen, actually, because we had good conversation. So your homework to read this. We preach Christ and to walk through the blessings of obedience to the Lord, how he blesses our obedience. And if you had coworkers, maybe you can read those. If you had rejection, read those verses on being mocked and fear of not knowing what to say. It could be a good family devotion time to discuss those. So let's close in prayer. We're over our time. Thank you, guys. That was a very good conversation. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can be ambassadors of yours, that you could use us to proclaim this amazing gospel message. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for those times that yet we have not been faithful. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us the words to say in those moments that you sovereignly put someone in our path, that we would be faithful with your word. We would trust the results to you. Lord, we don't get any glory. You get all the glory. You're the one who saves a soul. We can't save anyone. So, Lord, we just praise you. We thank you. And prepare our hearts for the second service and the preaching of your word and the singing of your hymns. Lord, we love you, and we ask these things in your son's holy, precious name. Amen.